welcome to Church at the Well podcast. Thank you for joining us.
So, we've got Psalm 136, verses 1 through 26. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me pray for us before we get started. God, we thank you so much for your steadfast, faithful love. Even when we are unfaithful, God, your love never fails us. God, as we dive deeper into your word, may your Holy Spirit lead us, guide us. May we seek to not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. As we seek to become more like you each day. It's in Jesus' awesome and powerful name, I pray, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a seat. Well, thank you for having us. Like Christy said, my name is Caleb Smith. I pastor River Point Community Church in Rabun County, Georgia. So found out if you drive that, it's about 15 and a half hours if you don't stop. If you drive it with an 18-year-old and your wife, it's about 18... days. It's about 18 days. It's about what it felt like. So, but if you fly it out of Charlotte, it's only 2.5 hours. So that's, somebody asked me, hey, did you drive today? I was like, nope, did that once. Won't do that again. Won't do it again. But yeah, hopefully you got to know, my son, my firstborn, the heir to the Smith, fortune, Parker. So Parker was 9 years old when we first came to Boston. He's now about to turn 19. And before you say it, I know what you're thinking, which is, you don't look old enough to have a 19-year-old son. And to that, I say thank you. I appreciate that. I agree. I don't think I do. But no, we've been partnered for 10 years. 10 years. My wife has been able to join us for... probably two or three of those. My daughter, my favorite daughter, which don't let the fact that she's my only daughter take away from that. But she's my favorite daughter. She just turned 14, and she's been here with us. This is her second year coming with us. And then I have a seven-year-old, pray for us. I have a seven-year-old at home that my wife is taking care of. And so she is supporting us from there. But it's been an honor and a privilege to get to know Christy and Kevin over the last decade. That sounds a lot more when you call it a decade instead of 10 years. But they have been an important couple in our life, just watching. I never imagined God would call me to plant a church. I started in youth ministry and worship ministry 20 years ago, and I always said, God, I love what I do, but I don't ever want to be that person. I like saying, hey, you have a problem, go down the hall, the last door on the right, that's the person you want to talk to. But 6.5 years ago, God called my wife and I and my family to plant a church, to leave Alabama and to go to Northeast Georgia to plant a church, River Point Community Church. And so we've been there 6.5 years, and it's been amazing to see God just work in our community, but also to have people who have been there and done that and are still doing it, on our side and on our team to pray for us, to ask questions, and really just to be there with us in this process. So I'm excited to be here today. This is a lot of stuff. This is a lot of stuff here. 26 verses, and the theme of this, and I actually preach from the CSB, that's the Caleb Smith Bible. It's the Christian Standard Bible, just kidding. I tell you, like I tell most people, 96% of what I say is sarcasm, so don't believe it. The other 4% is still sarcasm. I just don't like saying 100% of everything I say is sarcasm. But I use the Christian Standard Version. And so when I read it, what mine is saying is his faithful love. And I mean, that's just as powerful as steadfast, because it's meaning the same thing. His faithful love endures forever. There was a song when I was growing up. I grew up in a semi-Christian home. My mother was a believer. My father wasn't until I was 14. So my mother took us to church every time the doors were open. And I remember this song singing growing up that was taken a lot from this. It was, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures forever." And when I read this, I can't help but go to, I love music. And so I don't know if you live in a musical, anybody else like me, like your life, everything that happens, you're singing, or like a saying in a conversation turns right into a song that you remember. Anybody else does that? That's my life. My daughter, my son, we around the house. That's it. If you put video cameras in our house, we live in a musical, and it's amazing, and I love it. But when I read this, I can't help but remember all those times I was singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures forever. His steadfast, his faithful love endures forever." So I really just want to take an opportunity for the next hour and a half to to break down kind of this passage here. There's three parts to this passage. It starts off with what we call really the call to worship. He starts right out of the gate with, and it's really, I read it as more of an urgent, because I think when you think of something that's urgent, you're like, you really need to do this. And I don't know about you, but my first tattoo I got, It took me 30-something years to get my first tattoo, and now they're addictive, and I can't stop. And that's why there will be no family fortune left, because it's all going to be spent on tattoos. But the first one I got was from a song, and the bridge part of the song says, "I choose to praise." And it's really just a reminder that, anybody ever gone through a difficult time in your life? Yeah, my 40s have been difficult. Like, I'm going through a season. All right? Every day I wake up, I'm like, God, thank you for another day, but if you come back today, I'll be okay with that. Like, my body will stop hurting and all this stuff. But a sense of urgency that without this call, your life really can get hopeless if you don't remember in your difficult times that God's faithful love endures forever in every situation we go through, in every difficulty, in every high, in every low. God's love is there. It is steadfast. And I can't help but smile and rejoice when I think about it. So he calls us right out the gate. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks. Give your thanksgiving to God. And I try to remind people, it's easy for us to thank God in the easy times, right? I have a lot of things that I say fairly regularly when I teach at our church, and so much so that if they made a bingo card, we're working on it. Of the sayings that I normally have, they would be bingos very regularly. Thank you. Yeah. So, and one of the things I say is when I talk about how we should be regularly giving thanks to God, but we don't, because it's easy in life to treat God or Jesus as a drive-through. It's a drive-through McJesus or a McGod. We pull up and we order, and we just say, God, give me number one, good health, with a side of financial stability and peace in my home. And you can supersize that if you want to. Make all that even more. And then we place our order to God for the things that we want. And then we when it's ready, we drive around and we get it from him. And then it's just like, thank you. I'll be back next time I need something. It's easy to thank God in the easy times, but are we thanking God all the time? Because here's the reality. When I woke up this morning, I had breath in my lungs. That's something to thank God about. Took me 10 minutes to walk here. That last year, I don't know, Chris, if you remember, last year I was down the whole week. I couldn't even work most of the week. I was having severe back problems, is what I told people. really, I was just seeing how well my team would work without me. And I was having severe back problems. So while I was walking here this morning, was just like, thank you, God, that I can walk and I'm not in so much pain that it's debilitating. It's easy to give thanks in the times when it's convenient and when it's going good. But when I read this, and when everything that follows underneath it reminds us that even in the difficult times, we should give thanks. Even in the times where we're going through, we're off of that mountaintop experience, and we're in that valley where it feels like all of our enemies are coming around us. You remember, David wrote the Psalms, most of them, and David was writing Psalms when he was hiding in caves because people were trying to kill him. When he was fleeing, not only from Saul, who he was going to replace as king, but from his own son, Absalom, who wanted to kill him and take over. Parker, do not get any ideas from that, all right? David's son, Absalom, was wanting to kill him and take over. And in these times, David is writing and crying out to God. And when I read this, I think we are called to give praise at all times, because no matter our situation, God's faithful love endures forever. So he starts off right out the gate, give thanks. It's not really an option. It's not a, hey, listen, if you're having a good day, give thanks. If your week's going better than it did last week, give thanks. No, it's a call to, hey, where you're at right now, give thanks. Thank God, because here's the reality, it could always be worse. When I read the Old Testament, I'm like, man, they went through some crazy stuff. But then I also realized they brought it on themselves. Anybody ever lived in your own mess you've created? Yes, that saying, it's your bed, you made it, now you can sleep in it. Yeah, I've slept in that bed many a times, and I look back and I'm like, that was stupid. I don't know if you've ever been there before, and you're like, why did I do that? Here's the great thing about when I look back and I think that. I think even in my stupidest times, which there are a lot of them, God still loves me. Jesus Christ still died for me. His faithful love endures and his forgiveness never ends. And I'm thankful for that. He calls us right out of the gate, a call to praise him in the first couple of verses. And here's why, and I'm gonna kind of break this down. Here's why, first of all, that we are called to praise God for his faithful love. And the first thing we notice here right out of the gate is because of the authority that he has. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Now, growing up, I was a fairly rebellious teen. Anybody been there before? Yeah, I'm still a rebellious teen, all right? I didn't really like authority. And that was difficult when it came to me submitting to God. Because when you don't really like authority in your life and all you hear about this God is, well, he just sits up there and he's got all these rules you got to follow and they're no fun. And I want to have fun. And so I was really kicking against that. And then I realized, man, what a privilege to be able to say I'm loved by the supreme authority. What a privilege to be able to say that the person who created the heavens and the earth and sustains all life in his hands gives me the opportunity to call him Father. And my biggest struggle is I didn't have a great relationship with my dad. He didn't get saved till I was 14. And before that, it was a rocky relationship between us. We fought physically a lot. And I didn't have a good father figure. So it wasn't very easy for me to go to this God that we read as God the Father, that Jesus calls God the Father, and be like, yeah, I want a relationship with that. Because I'm like, forget that. I don't even like the relationship I have with my own dad. Why do I want another one that just wants to put more rules on? But then I realized the rules are for my good. And the things he says don't do is because he loves me. And here's the thing that gave that a very real, it was a reality check in my life of why this is so important. I had kids. Anybody have kids? God bless you. I'll pray for you every day. Every day. I remind my son, Parker, there's 5 years between my oldest son, Parker, and my daughter, Keely. There's 7 years between my daughter, Keely, and my youngest son, Jace. There's 12 years between my son, Parker, and my son, Jace. I told Parker not too long ago, I said, Parker, you're about to graduate. You realize when Jace graduates, you'll be 30 years old. Yeah, right? But I was thinking how old I'm going to be. And I told him, I was like, bud, do you know that when I was 30, you were 7? You could have a 7-year-old when your brother's graduating high school. And you're going to feel as old as I feel right now. Now, God called my wife and I to adopt because my wife couldn't have any more kids after my daughter, Keely. And I was fine then because I was like, I got my son, I got my daughter. Like, I'm good. I was still young. I'm still young-ish. But I was like young. And I was like, no, I'm good to go. We're sleeping through the night. Praise the Lord. Okay. No more diapers. Oh, my gosh. You know, not all the money spent on that. And then my wife's like, I want another one. And I'm like, baby, find you another man and see if he'll raise another one with you. Because I'm pretty sure I'm done. I'm positive. I'm done. Now, I joke a lot about my wife, but I regularly say, I married up. Anybody ever married up before? All right. Yes. Two people. Everybody else, shame on you for not saying it. Look at your spouse and say, why didn't you say yes? And I joke regularly, if my wife ever leaves me, I'm going with her. I'm never going to be able to find another person like her. So when a true Southern belle, blonde hair, the most gorgeous person I've ever met in my life, inside and out, why she married me, I still don't know. I think she thinks I'm rich, and when I die, she's going to get a lot of money. Joke's on her. I don't. And that's not going to happen. But she stayed with me. We just celebrated like 3 or 4 days ago. What's today's date? 3 days ago, our 21st wedding anniversary. So been together 25 years, 21 married. And so when she looks me in the eye with those gorgeous colored eyes, green eyes, and she says, Caleb, I want another baby. I mean, how do you say no to that? I mean, I did. I said no. But how do you really say no to that? But God changed my heart, and God said, look, you need to submit to me, and I'm calling you. So we adopted our youngest, Jace. But it wasn't until I had kids to where I realized the laws that I really looked at God of having is every bit of it's to protect me. And how can I get mad at somebody that wants to protect me? I want my kids, after they grow up and they get out of the house, I want them to look back and say, I'm thankful that my parents had rules that protected us, because those rules came from a place of love. And the more I learn about God, I don't see a God that sits up there just wanting us to not have fun. I see a God that loves us so much that he wants us to have a relationship with him, and he wants to save us from everything out there that wants to draw us away from him, that wants to separate us from him, because he loves us so much. And when he calls us, give thanks because we have this supreme authority that in the beginning, Adam and Eve, when they gave the choice of you can have anything in this garden, except don't do this. And I could have told God if he'd asked me then, God, don't say don't do this. I have kids. They're going to want to do that thing. In fact, they probably never thought about it until you said, don't do it. And then they're like, well, now I really want to do it. I want to do it so much, as soon as you turn your back, I'm going to go right to it. They don't even have to pray about it. They're like, no, I'm going to do this. They sinned against a holy and righteous God. And because he is, the only thing he could do is separate himself from them. Because a holy God cannot be in the presence of sin. So he separated them. But here's the thing. He didn't separate them because he hated them. He didn't hate them. He loved them so much that after he separated, he said, I still want a relationship with them. And something's going to have to happen for that to be reconnected. And so he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for them. And so when I think about this God, this supreme authority, I don't anymore look at God as this person that's like, man, he just wants to control me and not wants me to have any fun. Look, I have fun all the dadgum time. In fact, so much so, my wife tells me, you need to stop. Caleb, remember, you're 42. There's people around you right now. Your kids are watching. I'm like, no, I want them. I know. I want them to grow up and be cool too. So we're going to do this together. But this supreme authority created everything. Right out of the gate, David reminds us, listen, we should give thanks to him. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And the fact that we can have a relationship with him, every day we should be giving thanks to him. Because his love, when we didn't deserve it, his faithful love has always been there and will be there forever. So we're called to first love him because of his and give thanks to him because of his authority as the creator and sustainer of the world. But not just that, because of the acts that he's done for us. We continue reading through the next couple of verses of the story of Genesis, of the creation of the world. And think about this. And this is one of the things that's been most difficult in my life for me to grasp, is a God that has always been but was never created. I'm trying to work through that with our youngest, my son Jace is his name. You know, because it's a lot about, Daddy, how old are you? Oh, well, I'm 42. Oh, well, you're old. I'm like, well, thank you. Whatever, all right? But you know who the oldest person is? I'm like, who? He's like, Jesus. It's like, do you know how old he is? And I'm like, baby, he doesn't have an age. He's always been. He's like, no, he's 1,000. Well, yeah, he's been there. I mean, 1,000, yeah, but he's a lot. And in my head, in my finite mind, I still can't grasp and understand a God that's always been, that was never created, but created everything. But imagine this God that didn't need anything, but said, I want a creation that I can love and can experience my love for them and reciprocate it. And he created everything. He does great wonders. He made the heavens skillfully. He spread the land over the waters. He made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars by night. So not only do we need to love him and give thanks to him because of his authority, but because of the acts that he did that brought us to a place where we're created. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows every part of us. He knows when we've sinned. He knows when we're going to sin, and he still loves us. And he still loves us. But not only because of his authority and his acts, but also because of the aid that he brings. When we, this story, because this is a story here that the writer is going through of, we have this God of God, this Lord of Lords, who made the earth. And then he created mankind and the Israelites. And if you go back and read, and I love reading through the Old Testament. I'm reading through it again for probably the 10th or 12th time right now. And I love the stories in it. But it gives me hope because the Israelites were dumb. And I can say that because they were. I mean, you're like, well, that's harsh. Well, they were dumb. Read the Old Testament. You've been given everything by this God, and all he says is just love me and serve me only. They're like, awesome, we'll do. You give us everything that you promised us, and we're going to do that. And then when they get it, they're like, hey, those gods over there look cool. Let's serve them. And then when stuff starts going bad, they're like, please help us, only God. These gods suck. Help us. I don't know if y'all say suck. If you don't, I apologize. If you're offended, you can apologize to me afterwards. But they're like, these other guys, they don't do anything. God, accept us back. And he's like, you're my chosen people. I love you and I accept you back. Then they're like, awesome. Oh, new ways to sin. Look at all the stuff. And they just continue to do dumb stuff. And God, every time, welcomes them back. And his love is continuously there. Now, sometimes they got to pay the consequences. They got to be disciplined. There's times where God opens up the ground and swallows whole thousands of them. And you're like, well, they kind of deserved it. Or he sent snakes into their encampment, and the snakes killed a lot of them. Which, by the way, this is just an extra story. This is free for y'all, what I'm about to tell you, all right? So wake up on our anniversary day, all right? It's a Thursday, all right? It's like 9:00 in the morning because I took off work and I slept in. Because my awesome bride allowed me to. But she comes in. My wife loves rabbits. She's had a rabbit that she breeds and sells and, you know, throws money at. And it's amazing. I love spending money on stuff I never get my money out of. But she does all that because she wants to. And it's Mallory, and I love her. But she came in, and she's like, Caleb, and she told me the name of this rabbit. I don't remember. They name all of them. I don't care. I'm like, but she's like, so-and-so died. And I'm like, oh, I love so-and-so is my favorite. But it was the female. And she's like, I don't know what happened to her. I'm like, well, I don't either. We've lost rabbits before. So it's like a normal part of our life. And so I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, I don't get it. And she had went into, we have this rabbit enclosure. It was for chickens, but you know, my rabbits need it. And so we get it, and there we go. I love my wife, 21 years, all right. And so we get it, and the rabbit's dead, and there's only one other male in there with it, and she goes in there, and she finds it, and then she comes back out later, probably an hour later, she goes back out there, and I'm sitting inside just, I don't even remember what I was doing, but enjoying life. It's my anniversary. It's like 10 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm off work, I'm not doing anything, but she runs in, she's like, Caleb, there's a snake. Get your gun, come outside. So we live in Georgia, so everybody, my 7-year-old has a gun. So, does not, somebody's like, whoa. He doesn't yet. We're just saving it and waiting when he turns 8. No, we really don't. I have a pistol I keep up just for protection, but she's like, grab your gun, because I've had to kill things in our yard because it's Georgia and we live in the mountains and there's stuff. But they're doing all kinds of work around our house, so everything's like coming towards us. Well, I go out there in the pen. She's like, it's a poisonous snake. And I said, okay. And she's like, I think it's a copperhead. Y'all know what a copperhead snake is? Yeah, you're like, whoa. Like, have you experienced, you've been bit by one?
Not bit.
Oh, I mean, you were like, whoa, copperheads. Like, I didn't know if you like had some as pets. You're like, man, they are rough. All right, Texans, there you go. Well, you'll love this. So I go out there, and I said, and I look at it, I was like, Manly, that's not a copperhead, that's a rattlesnake.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what, I was like, ah, that's a rattlesnake, never seen one before in my life. And listen, 1 out of 5 stars, I don't recommend it. But I go in, and I've got my gun, and she's like, I gotta lock the cage so the other rabbit didn't jump down. And I'm like, I'm going to get a shovel so I can block it and like, you know, do all this. My wife just runs over there and locks it. I'm like, what do you, get out of there. It like. And then it curls up and it starts rattling. I'm like, babe, get out. And I pull her to the door and I'm just like, you know, anyway, I kill it. I don't even know where I was going. What were we talking about? Snakes. Snakes. God sent snakes to kill them. God sent snakes to kill us. But I said, not today, Satan. All right, listen. So I killed that serpent. And I said, you get back to where you're going. What were we doing? Are we talking about God's love? I told y'all his love endures forever. That was free. I should have paid for everything I just did just then. But you have this God. So they got punished. God sent stuff. And you would think after snakes killing them, the ground opening up, all these things happening to them, you would think that they'd be like, hey, I should probably stop doing stuff that's not very smart. But no. But here's what I love about it. And y'all said it about 26 times here. Even when we're doing stupid things, God's faithful love endures forever. Even when stuff is happening to us that we don't deserve, I want you to hear this. There's times in our life we go through stuff that we know it's our fault. Yep. Admittedly. There's been times in my life where I'm serving God and stuff's happening to me, and I'm like, God, this is not very fair. What is going on right now is not fair. There's a 5-year gap between my Parker and Keeley because we lost 3 babies between them. And there was a point in that time where I was like, God, I'm moved. We're from Mississippi originally. Don't judge me. I haven't been there in 19 years. But that's where my wife and I are from. And God moved us to Illinois. It was 8 hours away. I was serving at a church as a worship pastor and a youth pastor. We moved away from everything. Parker was 9 months old when we moved. Moved away from family. My wife quit her job to stay at home with Parker to raise him. But we knew nobody there. And in that time, we lost back to back to back. And my wife the whole time is, you know, I don't know if you feel this way, but this is how I feel when it comes to my wife and my family. I'm a problem solver. I'm a fixer. And there's times I've had to work on this where my wife's telling me stuff. And I'm like, babe, I need you to tell me, are you want me to fix this or you just want me to listen? Because it's very, very quickly I try to fix stuff. And she's like, I just want you to listen. All right, I'm listening, but I want to fix it. So now I just want you to listen. I'm wanting to fix this, and I'm just telling God, I'm like, God, I moved everything, and I followed exactly where you called me to, but all of this is happening. And here's what I remembered during that time, and it took a minute, and then I've continued to remind myself during all of that. We live in a sinful world. Which means we have disease, which means we have death. We have ectopic pregnancies, tubal pregnancies. We have miscarriages. We have cancer. We have things that we experience because Adam and Eve sinned and we live in a fallen world. But sometimes it's not by anything we've done. And I have to remind myself in those times, God, I'm doing everything you've called me to do. And even though it's unfair, it's not fair for me to look to you and say, God, this is unfair. Because God's faithful love endures forever. And even in the difficult times, we have hope. Even in the difficult times, we have security in his love. Even in the difficult times, it doesn't matter what man can do to me or will do to me. God has saved me. He's restored me. I am justified in his sight. And no matter what happens to my mortal body, my eternal dwelling place is with him in heaven. And one day I'm going to be away from all the pain. I'm going to be away from all the hurt. And I'm going to be with the God whose love endures forever. So when we look at, we love him, we give thanks to him because of his authority, because of his acts, because of his aid that he brings. He brought plagues and stuff and safety to the Israelites when he was bringing them out of Egypt. He talks about this, 10 different plagues to remove them from the grasp of Pharaoh in Egypt. And even after he brings them out, they come to the Red Sea and they're like, well, we've been led out here to die. And sometimes I read it and I'm like, shut up, you know? Like, you were enslaved for 400 years, and you're whining about this? And Moses is like, you shall not. No, that's Gandalf. He's like, water, you know, and they walk through. And then the Egyptian army comes, and God swallows them all up. And you would think after all those things they see, they would not gripe and complain, but God continues to provide for them manna from heaven, bread, water from the rock, quail that comes down. All the times they complained, God continued to pour out his love on them and give them sustenance even when they were complaining about him. Why should we give thanks? Because God's faithful love endures forever. No matter our situation, no matter what we've done, no matter what is done to us, his faithful love endures forever. We give thanks to God because of his authority, because of his acts, because of his aid, and because of his abundance. He brought them there to the land. He gave them their land as an inheritance, the land that he promised them. And as I was reading through this, I was thinking, all right, this was written thousands of years ago. But what if God commissioned me right now to write a psalm of thanksgiving for his love? What would I write? Why would I encourage people to give thanks to God? And here are some passages in scripture that jumped right out to me as I was going through this. Number one, I would give thanks to God because of the love that he displayed for me. John 3:16, if you don't know it, for God so loved the entire world that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die. And I'm adding this on a cruel, horrible cross that he did not deserve for us. That whosoever, that means anybody, everybody say anybody. Amen. Who does that cover? Everybody. It's not a trick question. All right. You said the answer already. Anybody who comes to him, who places their faith and trust in him, shall be saved. What's the first thing I'd write about why we should give thanks? Because he displayed his love for us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in our sin, one of my favorite verses in passages that display Jesus' love is when he is being crucified and he looks down on the people condemning him and crucifying him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have said, Father, bring down a legion of angels and destroy them so I can climb down off this cross. But instead, he said, Father, look down on them and forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So why should I give thanks to God for his love that was displayed for me? Number two, for his forgiveness that was given. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. And some versions may say faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what I love about God. And I did a lot of sinful stuff before I came to saving knowledge of Jesus. Stuff I'm not proud of. But I knew when I realized that Jesus Christ was real, is real, and will rule and reign forever in authority. I knew that no matter how bad I sinned before or I will ever sin, His forgiveness is there for me if I come to Him and I repent and I place my faith and trust in Him. And here's what I love. When that transformation happened in my life, I don't have a desire to sin anymore. But when I do, my heart hurts even more than it did before because I'm sinning against a God who did exactly what I said before. He sent His Son to die for me. And now I want to serve Him and to love Him. So why do I give thanks if I were to write it? Because of His love displayed, His forgiveness given. And here's one thing I really love is His Holy Spirit that He sent. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, it says, "Therefore, since He has been exalted to the right hand of God and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, He has poured out what you both see and hear." And that's the Holy Spirit. In John 15, verse 26, it says, "When the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will testify about me." In the book of Ephesians, it tells us that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us and marks us permanently as God's adopted children, ready to receive the inheritance one day in heaven that we don't deserve, but we get because we are children of God. My son Jace is not my biological son, but he carries my last name, and he's going to get whatever I have left that I don't spend or burn or tear up so they can't fight over when I die. But he's my son. He met his biological mom not too long ago. We told him he was adopted. He's half Hispanic. We were getting to realize, dude's got a better tan than me. He's got a better hair than me. And at some point, he's going to realize, I look better than all y'all. What? You know? And so we told him, we're like, hey, buddy, you were adopted. And it was amazing because he's a very emotional kid. Every rabbit that dies, even if it's a baby or an older one, he cries for like days. Like, he remembers their names. He's like, I loved that one. I loved it. He wanted to see the rabbit that got bit by the snake before we got rid of it. And I'm like, buddy, you don't want to. He's like, I do. I want to see it. I'm like, okay. He's like, okay. And like, just tender hearts. So we're like, I don't know how he's going to respond when we say, hey, buddy, we adopted you. Like, we're not biologically your family, but we're your family. His response was, I got another family? And I'm like, calm down, bro. Like, hold on. You're not moving in with them right now. Like, I'm your dad. Don't forget that. This is your mom, all right? But he is my son. His name, Jace Smith. Jace Landry Guy, which is my dad's middle name, which Jace took because my older brother, who didn't have kids before, was like, hey, can you please, like, pass that name on? Because, like, I'm not going to be able to. And I'm like, whatever. He's already got three names. He's like, just do it for dad. And I'm like, all right, whatever. This dude went and had a kid, a son, like a year or two later. And I'm like, my kid has four names. All right. But anyway, that's where we're at. But he's my son. As adopted sons and daughters, through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we get the inheritance waiting for us in heaven. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. My kids will never do anything that will cause me to not love them. And my God loves me no matter what I do. His faithful love endures forever. Why would I give thanks? Because His love was displayed through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness was given through faith and trust in Jesus, and His Holy Spirit was sent to seal us for all eternity as His. And I just have, real quick, several things to think about. I call it a what does this mean for me? Just questions that we can ask from what we've learned, that how can I apply this to my life, or what are some things that I can ask myself regularly to help me to apply what I've learned. And the first one is, I think it's an important question to ask is, have I recognized God's authority in my life as Christ, as Savior, and as Lord? That's the most important question. It's not, do you believe in Jesus? Because here's the reality. There's so much evidence that Jesus existed. To not believe in him is really to go against thousands of documents of proof. But here's the reality. Even the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble at his name. Believing in him is not enough. Is he Lord of your life? Have you placed your faith and trust in him? Meaning, scripture says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, not that Jesus was a person, he is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He will return one day in glory. He is going to whoop Satan's butt, and he is going to rule and reign, and we'll be with him. That's who Jesus is. Have you confessed with your mouth that he is those things and believe in your heart that he is Lord over your life? Have you made that decision? Meaning, have I said, God, I've been living my own way, and that is not the way you desire for me. I want to live in your love. I want to live in your forgiveness. I want to live in your grace and your mercy and your hope. And I want to live with your Holy Spirit empowering me so I can move forward in what we call a sanctification process, being made like him regularly and daily. Have you recognized God's authority? And number two, a question we can ask is, do I make praise a regular part of my life? The call to praise, give thanks to God. Do I make praise a regular part of my daily life? Is that something that I only go to when things are going good or I need something? Or do I wake up every day saying, today is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it no matter what comes my way. No matter what Satan does today. No matter who comes against me. I'm praising the name of the Lord today. And then number three, do I let the Spirit lead me? And this is the one that I think is the most important, because we live in a world where a lot of people don't think that you need Jesus. A lot of people think you just need to be a good person. And there's regularly, and one of the things that frustrates me about being a pastor is seeing these religious leaders that make very unwise decisions. I think of recently Michael Tate, who was one of the members of a trio called DC Talk back in the 90s. And then he became the lead singer of a Christian band called The Newsboys, but just came out that he made a lot of stupid decisions and is not been living a very godly life. And this is a person that is well known, and you think, man, you had a platform and you didn't let the Holy Spirit lead you. You let your pride, you let your desires for lust and desires for pleasures of this world lead you instead of the Holy Spirit. And because you did that, you fell into those traps and snares that Satan set. And now everybody's seeing that tumble. And it's just another thing for somebody to talk about. But then I think of people like John MacArthur, who just died. And I'm like, what a legacy he left. And I think if I die one day and people are standing, I will die one day. Unless Jesus comes back before, all right? When I die, if I die before Jesus comes back, what are my kids going to say about me? What are the people that I've led as a congregation or in my life that I've had influence in? What are they going to say about me? Are they going to say he was a person led by the Holy Spirit, no matter what came against him, no matter what he had to endure, he was always led by the Holy Spirit? Or are they going to say, man, he did his best, but he struggled a whole lot. And here's the reality. I do struggle a whole lot. I'm going to be a sinner until the day I die. That's scriptural. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And we're going to sin until the day we die. Thankfully, through Jesus' blood on the cross and faith and trust in him, I'm forgiven of all my sins. But I have the Holy Spirit that can lead and guide me as a counselor, as somebody that convicts the world of sin. But I know that the law is written on my heart, and I'm convicted of it. Do I let the Holy Spirit lead me, or do I try to do this on my own? The great thing is you don't have to do it on your own. You really don't. I've tried. I don't recommend it. It's far better when you have the Holy Spirit going with you. Have you submitted to Jesus Christ and recognize his authority in your life? Number one, do you regularly make praise a part of your life? And then number three, do you live your life led by the Holy Spirit? I hope that is something you can answer yes to. And if not, if you answer no to any of those or all of those, you have people here that love you and want to talk to you about what it looks like to make those decisions. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to be led into the next part of our worship, which is taking of communion, which we do in remembrance of the body that Jesus had broken on the cross and the blood that he shed. And we're going to participate in that. And so I'm going to invite you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you place your faith and trust in him, this is something you can do with a clear heart and conscience. But if you haven't made that decision yet, grab somebody, grab somebody here, grab myself, Christy, somebody else. Make that decision in your life. But we're going to continue to worship. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithful love that endures forever. We thank you that it's not by anything that we do to earn it, God, but it was because of your great love for us that we have your forgiveness. I pray if there's any person in here that has not received your forgiveness through faith and trust in Jesus, your Holy Spirit would draw their heart to you right now and they would make that decision. For those of us that have, God, may we every day look forward to waking with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, with anticipation of how you're going to move and work that day in our life. May God help us to be led by the Holy Spirit in all that we do. As we continue this time of worship and in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, God, may we come before you with an attitude of gratitude. It's in Jesus' powerful, awesome name I pray. Amen.